Shabbat Shalom. So I'm on my way to the synagogue yesterday, walking on the Upper East Side on 3rd Avenue at around 9:30 in the morning. And stumbling towards me was a young mother pushing her toddler in a stroller. Now, to put it mildly, the mother looked like she had seen better days. Actually, to be perfectly honest, she was a wreck. She looked completely exhausted. She was unrested, unkempt, ungroomed, unresponsive, unenergetic, uninterested, unengaged. I noticed her in the first place amongst the bustling dozens of people on 3rd Avenue because she was yawning as I approached her. Now, you know, rabbis are experts at yawns. We're experts because we see them so often. Sometimes in our office, usually during sermons. Now, people have different types of yawns. Some yawns are the result of boredom. Others are due to some temporary lapse of concentration. And still others are due to a certain weariness. But this young mother yawned in a manner that suggested that it was not only a rough night for her, but she had reached a stage of chronic fatigue. It was a dazed, mouth wide open, eyes closed, I don't care about anything, upheaval of her body, immediately recognizable to anyone who has raised children. She could barely keep her eyes open amidst the hustle and bustle and noise of this city. Her daughter, on the other hand, looked fantastic. She must have had a wonderful night's sleep and probably a great breakfast. She was bouncing in her carriage while conducting an engaged and excitable conversation with her dog. Now that image, the unkempt, disheveled, chronically fatigued young mother stumbling as if in a trance, wearily pushing her bouncy, energetic, doll-conversing daughter, that image struck in my mind. I wondered, how long ago was it that the mother herself was playing with dolls? Victor Hugo wrote, "The child becomes a little girl. The little girl becomes a great girl. The great girl becomes a woman. The first baby takes the place of the last doll." This picture on the street struck me as so symbolic, so pregnant with poignant purpose, and so revealing of the cycle of life. And I thought about it until I reached the synagogue. I was on my way to the funeral of our friend Bill Goldman, whom I loved and was so popular in our congregation, and expressed to you our condolences. We also had Janine Carr. Amy, you're here too. We expressed to you also our communal condolences. So it was a week in our congregation that was filled with loss as well, and I was thinking about life and death and love and loss, and I saw this picture on the street that so poignantly portrayed the circle of our lives. A young, exhausted woman who only recently removed herself from the doll-playing stage of her life, raising a child enraptured by a doll. And soon, that little girl in the baby carriage we'll be raising our own children. It's the season to think about these things. You know, the egg on the Seder plate is intended to symbolize the cycle of life, the arrival of spring with its potential for regeneration, for new life, rebirth, and new growth, while at the same time the egg was considered in Jewish tradition to be the mourner's food. It also symbolized loss. It was traditional to serve an egg to the mourner immediately upon return from the cemetery. The egg on the Seder plate reminds us also of the loss of the temple in Jerusalem. So the egg's very symbolism of life and loss, growth and decay, new beginnings and endings, it is consistent with Judaism's basic philosophy. Life and death are both part of the human experience. New life in the form of an egg will inevitably lead to loss, also symbolized by the circular form of the egg. This week's Torah portion is called Achremot, which means after the death. Teaches us how to respond after the death of somebody whom we love. The name of the Torah portion is derived from the first verse. Vayedaber Adonai al Moshe achrei mot shnei bnei Aharon bekorvatam lifnei Adonai vayamutu. And God spoke to Moses after the death of Aaron's two sons when they approached God and died. And Jewish sages immediately picked up on the peculiarity of the verse. God spoke to Moses after the death of Aaron's sons when they approached God and died. We already know in the beginning of the verse that Aaron's two sons died. The verse states, Achrei mot shnei bnei Aaron, after the death of Aaron's sons. So why does the Bible at the end of the verse repeat the fact that these people died? And God spoke to Moses after Aaron's two sons approached God and died. That could have been the way the Bible described it. Didn't have to mention that in the span of one short verse that Aaron's sons died, mentioning it twice. One tradition explains the following. Aaron's sons, in effect, died a double death. The first was their physical death, and the second was the death of their souls because they left no heirs. Aaron was the high priest. His sons were the successors. But these sons, Nadav and Avihu, thought that ritual service to God was more important than living a complete and a full life. Hence, they refused to marry, refused to have children, and refused to engage fully with the community. Judaism never defined holiness as withdrawal from the world. We never defined holiness as abstinence. Our holy people were not celibate. What we did was to elevate the human condition and sanctify the ordinary. Judaism never thought like other faith traditions that the more pious you are, the higher you climb on the rung of piety, the more you withdraw from the world. That was never Judaism. For us, the very withdrawal from the world was itself sinful. If you do not produce heirs, whether in the form of children, or for those of us who do not have children, in the form of influencing other people, making a mark on others and on society that continues after we are gone, then we die a form of double death, the death of the body as well as the death of the soul. Leave heirs, physical heirs, intellectual heirs, have students, be a mentor to others, write, influence people, make a mark on the world, leave something behind. Find out who you were meant to be, why you were put on this good earth, and do it as well as you can. In the words of Ecclesiastes, whatever is in your power to do, do it with all of your might. And if we do this, if we leave something of our essence behind, then that which forms our essence will not be lost. We are leaving a deposit, a reservoir of knowledge, memories, and messages that will endure for future generations. It is a form of immortality. Immortality is in the memory of others of the deposits that we leave behind. And even if our names are forgotten, and even if our message is no longer attributed to us, because that too is forgotten, still, every time a message that we left, a thought that we articulated, is mentioned by a future generation, it lives. And this is how we continue to live, long after we are gone. And thus, it is worth our exertion. It is worth chronic fatigue. It is worth the physical and emotional drain on us. It is worth having to worry about others, to feel the weight of the responsibility for other people's lives. It is worth being a parent. It is worth the exertion, the effort at self-improvement, even into old age. Because it is better to be old less long than to be old before one is old. And it is worth suffering loss because it is better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. Our task is to keep looking towards the future, no matter what has happened in our lives. In the end, this is among the central messages of Passover. To the casual observer, the Seder might seem like an attempt to focus on the past. We recall the Exodus from Egypt in great detail. But in reality, the Seder is about looking to the future. We remember the past in order to affirm that we are still on a journey to the future, to the promised land. The final words that we will recite in the Haggadah on Monday night confirm our intentions. No matter what stage of life we are in, and no matter what trauma we have endured, we still look to the future. Bashana haba'a b'Yerushalayim. Next year, we are looking forward to next year in Jerusalem. Amen.